Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone and welcome once again to The Phantom Zone, your one-stop shop for all things nerdy. If you like what you hear today, you can listen to our other episodes on a whole range of nerdy topics, now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts and SoundCloud. My name is Chris Buick and I'm joined once again by my friends and fellow nerds, Simone and Ian. How are you both?
Hi, hello. I'm good. Yeah,
good. Not bad.
How good. Are you? We're all good. I'm good. We're all good. We are here this week, the three of us, to as part of our ongoing beautiful partnership with UK Film Review to discuss to discuss the 33rd, yes that's right, 33rd film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, The Marvels, which is a continuation of the of the Miss Marvel TV show, as well as the sequel to 2019's Captain Marvel, which was a whole 11 films ago, if you can believe it. So we are here to talk about this in The Marvels, which we see one Carol Danvers, aka Captain Marvel, get her powers entangled with those of Kamala Khan, aka Miss Marvel, and Monica Rambeau, aka no code name as of yet, forcing them to work together to save the universe from Kree warrior Dar-Ben, played by Zoe Ashton, who is out to restore her planet by any means necessary, including draining other planets of their natural resources, and holds a specific grudge against Carol Danvers, believing she herself is responsible for her homeland's suffering. Now, obviously, we've all seen this, but as far as our group chat, I'm assuming you two have spoken about it, otherwise, you know, just...
No, Simone and I actually...
we don't speak.
We don't speak.
Ever.
We barely...
We're not on speaking terms.
No, it's not going well.
Well,
this is actually going to become a couple's therapy session.
Well, I am not qualified, so this is not good for you guys. So.
Well, why are we paying you, Chris?
I'll give it a go. You're paying me? Where's that money going?
But no, yes, we have talked about it.
Okay,
not a huge amount. We went to see it together, but we talked a bit about it. And we've held some thoughts. We hold them back, you know.
Yeah, hold some thoughts back,
For you guys, for, you know, so you get the live, fresh action of it, you know, like the Nolan debate. We try to keep it all held back until we're on here.
Fair enough. Is that generally how it works for you guys when you go see films now? Because we do this, that you kind of hold it back a little bit?
No, we do talk about him. We broadly say what we think about them. In fact, that's where the broadly came from, wasn't it? We went to see Dune. We both loved it, but then we're caught up on a single point of rating, and then we were like, it's broadly great. And you were like, yes, it's broadly great. And I was like, well, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just matching your energy.
And thus our illustrious scale of rating films was born.
It really was.
So no, we do talk after we see films. We don't just like turn it off and go, well, good night. We do talk about them.
I'll speak to you on the podcast.
And sometimes we steal each other's points. I steal Simone's points a lot of the time. Yes, you do.
I could believe that. But as far as our group chat, Toby has also seen it. Unfortunately, Toby can't join us today, but Toby's also seen it. We've had kind of radio silence in our group chat, so it'd be
very little, yeah.
Very little, in fact.
Yeah. In fact, at one point, I didn't know if any had seen it.
It was just acknowledgement of, have you seen it? Yes, that was it. That's literally been it. So this could be interesting. I obviously don't know any of you guys' predictions, but I have my assumptions, which we'll get into, maybe. But I guess, obviously, like I say, 33rd film in the MCU, our latest offering. Obviously, we spoke at length about the track record of the MCU as of late. But what did we think overall, generally, of the Marvels? Simone?
I enjoyed it. I had a great time. It was fun. Like, I think that's something that's been missing from Marvel's offerings for a while. I didn't really find myself enjoying going to the cinema to watch them and didn't have a good time while I was in the cinema. And I think this is the first time in a while. I'm trying to think what the last film was that I actually like enjoyed.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Verse.
Oh,
no, not Spider-Verse. I mean, No Way Home.
No Way Home.
Oh, do you mean in terms of MCU?
Yeah.
That was the last one we left. That was a good time.
And
when was that? 2021? 22? When did that come out?
Spider-Man.
I will look that up while you...
I'll stop looking at them then.
That was the last time that I like actually came out of the cinema and I was like, I had fun. Like, that was a lot of fun. The acting was across the board was quite good. It's a fun storyline. It was a film that I was like, do you know what? If I could take my little cousin to go see this film. I feel like, I said this before, but quite a few of these films, the run times are just way too long and it's alienating the kid audience, which Marvel are clearly trying to appeal to. But yeah, I mean, who doesn't love an hour 45 minute movie?
Yeah.
We've gotten roped into this like 2.5 hour trend going on and it's trying. But yeah, overall, enjoyed. There are some... I think the runtime does hinder it a bit, but I had a good time.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. You were right. Spider-Man No Way Home came out December 17th, 2021. So that was almost 2 years ago that you last enjoyed an MCU film. So
it's a long time.
I mean, for me, I think I liked, for example, Guardians 3, but I don't think it was a heavy film to watch as well. So I don't know if I enjoyed it in quite the same way in terms of pure fun like I did with Spider-Man. But before I get into that, Ian, thoughts on the Marvels?
Well, I discovered via, you know, watching this show and realizing I have this platform that I'm going to use 25 minutes to tell you how much I hate women. Oh no, that's Ben Shapiro. Sorry, that's my
That's your other podcast, Ian.
That's right. Wrong one. No, I actually had a really good time with this film. I think the main three leads are the best part. I think their chemistry together is really good, and I want to have like more of them three together. And I think that was the best part of it. I think its broader story and other elements weren't as good. I think it has a lot of the problems that maybe early Marvel films, we can look back and say, you know, they didn't have the best villains. I think the villain in this is maybe one of the worst ones, in my opinion. I think they're very poorly written. And also, I what's the actress's name again?
Zoe Ashton.
I've not seen Fresh Meat. I've not seen her in anything else. I'm sure she's a good actress, but I do not know what was happening in this film. I don't know why somebody was like, yeah, just do that. This is on point. It just didn't work for me at all. And I found their motivation, the whole like, we got to save our home planet and thing, I just found it very hollow. It just wasn't well put together. And I think that also has a bit of the, like, I feel like we're missing a film in this film. It felt like we've watched and caught up and watched recaps of them. And I feel like I've missed something, like with Carol attacking their home planet. Kree, wasn't it? It's the Kree home planet. Yeah, I'm like, when did that happen? I completely missed it. Yeah, I know she said she was going to go do that at the end of the last film, but then she's just done it. So I was a bit confused.
Yeah, they had a very short segment in this film where they kind of tried to show it.
Yeah, I was
and
like,
it
what?
Was like, what? That's a film in itself, or at least, you know, an extra half hour of a film, you know?
Yeah.
It's not something you can just go, oh yeah, here's just a montage of it. I was just like...
It's going to take a montage.
I had to go back when I finished watching it, when I came home, reread the plot in case, did I miss something? Just to see if I'd... I was like, nope, it's just not there.
So I didn't like that, but I completely 100% agree with Simone and probably yourself, Chris, that I really felt for about an hour and 40 minutes, hour and 45 maybe max, this is what I want most Marvel films to feel like. That, yeah, obviously there's problems with it, but I want them to be funny. I had a good time with it. It was enjoyable. It was a run above the bad stuff we've had. But I do think it was probably just a bit above average, is my opinion. And I think that's because of the quality of the lead actors. If they weren't in it, if we didn't have Brie Larson, who's great, she's really good in this. And anybody who keeps, you know, attacking her, Benjamin Bear, should really just, you know, go away and under a pit and, you know, cease to talk about it.
100%.
And the other two are great.
Are you going to say cease to exist?
No, I'm not, you know, no. You said that, not me.
You've infiltrated my mind. That's what I expect of you sometimes.
Just for the record, legally, Ian has not said that. So, I just want to put that out there.
I wouldn't say such a thing. But, you know, I think having a film with three lead female actors is great, especially in the Marvel films. And I think, unfortunately, we do see this, and maybe we can talk about it later on, unless we don't want to acknowledge it, because, you know, those people are sad and pathetic. But, like, there is a bit of hate towards them being female leads, and people keep going, like, what we grew up with, which I'm like, you're a 35-year-old man. I don't think you grew up with Iron Man. I think you were already an adult by that point. But, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I dislike this because of three female leads. A friend of ours, Andrew, who probably listens to this, so hi, Andrew, made a good point that, you know, he doesn't feel that the quality of this film is affected by those people who are hate reviewing it or anything like that. He just thinks this has come a bit too late in terms of, like, the actual release of having three female leads in a film. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame, because I think they're actually really, really good, and I think they're the best part of the film. So, yeah, that's my broad thoughts. Bit long, sorry about that. Ian, just talking away.
totally great. And I must say, I'm going to make it 3 for 3. I really enjoyed this film, which...
Yay! A Marvel film we've enjoyed for a while.
Can't believe it. But it's only been 2 years.
It's finally happened.
I really enjoyed it. You know, I'll be honest, I wasn't fully expecting to enjoy it that much, because, you know, my expectations are much lower these days than they were in the past when it comes to the MCU, given, you know, the recent output. But I genuinely had a lot of fun with this. It's an hour and 45 minutes, which is great as well. You know, it doesn't feel bloated or overlong. And you're right, Simone, there's a definite trend of films hitting the 2.5 to nearly 3 hour mark, which, you know, is... It's a lot for especially younger audiences, these kind of films. It's a lot to, you know, for them to go for it. I think it does suffer slightly from that, where it doesn't expand, for example, on the whole Kree planet backstory that we discussed.
Definitely.
Doesn't get explored. There's issues with, I guess, what I would call the Marvelness of it all, where you've got the villain who's got the destructive force, or has the plan or the evil machinations, and, you know, there's a problem to be solved. There's it's a lot of it, like, I've seen this before, it's a different villain, it's a different, but it's the same kind of premise, you know? But I totally agree with both of you. The three lead actors are what make this film, I guess, sing. I really like the chemistry between them. I think Brie Larson's great. Obviously, Iman Vellani's great. And Tiara Paris, they're all great together. Those are the moments that really stand out for me in this film. I also want to give a shout out to Nia DaCosta's directing. I really think she directed it really well, especially in the action scenes. The initial action scene, where they're all swapping in Kamala Khan's house, I think was really fun. That really got me into the film and really thought, oh my God, I'm actually enjoying watching this. which is weird.
Oh my God, but Marvel film I'm enjoying? What's going on?
I know! it's fun, exactly like you both said. It is fun. It does tie into the wider universe. I don't think it gets completely bogged down by a lot of the lore as well, which I think is a problem with some of the Marvel properties. There's obviously bits, but it doesn't... and I think that's something like as well that Guardians did well. It kind of ignored a lot of it, which I think these films need to do a bit to kind of live on their own and be good. My main worry with this film is no one's watching it, no one's going to see it, and that's a shame, because I think because of what's come before it, the Marvels is suffering, because, and it's a shame because it is actually a good entry in the universe, but people aren't going to watch it because of they've been burned too many times. And
that's what Andrew was talking about, it being too late.
And it's a shame, it's because
like these... nobody's seeing it because it's too late.
Yeah, exactly. It's too little too late. And it's a shame because it's especially for those three actresses who are really good in this film to have a not just one but three female leads in a high profile blockbuster superhero movie that no one's watching is a very, very sad state of affairs.
And I don't think it's necessarily due to the review bombing.
No, I don't think it is.
Group. I actually don't think it's anything. I think those people exist, and I
deplore them
pity
completely.
Yeah, I ignore them and kind of find amusement in those sort of like trolly sort of people. I find them like quite sad, and I'm like, what a sad little life you lead, Jane. What a sad little life. But I actually don't think it's due to them. I don't think people are like, God, women in a film. I actually think most people, Barbie shows us that, obviously, that is a very popular. And of course it should be. I just think it's just so late in the month. 33, did you say?
Yeah, 33.
33 Jesus. Films in.
Plus eight TV shows.
Eight TV shows. I think we're staring down what we were talking about with the content fatigue in the Loki episode before, and I think that's why nobody's going to see this. It's not that it's a bad film. I think it's actually received quite favorable reviews, actually. I think it's got... Is that right? It's got pretty good reviews.
There have been mixed reviews, but I've seen some that have said it's... I've read one. I can't remember where it was. It said it was the worst MCU film, which is absolutely not true.
Was that Ben Shapiro's again?
It could have been Ben Shapiro. I don't know who it was.
Ben, get back out of here, Ben. Come on.
Yeah, the reviews have been, I guess, they've fallen on both sides. But I think, I mean, it might just be me reading and bias from my own opinion, but I think they've skewed more towards the positive, especially when in the aspects that we've spoken about, the performances and the fun of it, which is something that they said has been missing from the MCU, is fun. You know, Multiverse of Madness wasn't really fun. Love and Thunder wasn't really fun, you know. Even parts of Loki wasn't that fun. You know, this was fun, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, if I'm remembering correctly, it doesn't have like a sort of typical Marvel boosted Rotten Tomatoes score, but the audience score is pretty high. I think it's like 85% or something.
I can find that out for you.
You know, I think it shows that the people who are going to see it, like, are enjoying it. I mean, is it one of the best films ever made? No, but like, it's still a fun time and enjoyable.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I don't know, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I don't think it's at all like, so it's 83 on audience score and then 62 on Tomato reviews. So 83 feels a bit high, in my opinion. I think 60 is actually probably fair. If I wasn't doing our Broadly thing, I'd probably give it a 6 out of 10. Because I think my criticism of it, I guess if I'm going to be critical, we've all said how much I like it. I'm going to tear it apart now. I'm going to tell you how much I hate this film. No, I just think, you know, there's only so much good acting can do in terms of like the top three, you know, and actually, you know, I think the only person whose performance I didn't enjoy was the villain. Everybody else I thought was good. You know, her family are really funny. They're great. Nick, this is the first, since watching Secret Wars, which was terrible, and Samuel L. Jackson looked like he didn't care. He's great in this. He genuinely is really funny. Like when he's praying at the end. Yeah, that's such a good scene.
He's as Samuel L. Jackson as you want when you watch Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah.
It's just like so swagger, cool. Good.
It's like, yes, you are on point.
He's on fire in this one. It's like on point. There's none of this stupid backstory of his. He's just Nick Fury doing Nick Fury things and being really funny. Like, I really liked that. And his whole saga of trying to control the cats. Essentially, his side story throughout this is trying to control a herd of cats that are attacking his space station. And it's really funny. Like, it totally works and it's great. So, yeah, everybody's performances are really good. But the things that I would definitely critique is, although Samuel L. Jackson's story on the side is quite fun and enjoyable, the main story I just felt was just really hollow and just there's not really much to it. We don't really, the whole backstory of Brie, I was going to just say Brie Larson. Brie Larson, the person, went to Kree and just destroyed it.
I believe she could, you know, if she wanted to, she could do it.
Captain Marvel goes and attacks the Kree homeworld. It doesn't really make sense. So I know at the end of the first film, she said, I'm going to come for that bloody AI and I'm going to mess it up. But it's a shame because there's a lot of lost potential there, especially... You know, we've talked about one of our favorite ones is Winter Soldier. They could have had a current climate, you know, discussion over AI controlling the planet, pros and cons for that. You know, that's quite done. Did an iRobot, but actually good. You know, that would have been quite interesting. Mm. And instead, we just see her turn up, beat up some people. She looks quite, you know, villainous, actually, when she turns up on the Kree in that flashback. Yeah. And they didn't really explore that. She just destroys the AI and that's it. And I just was like, what? Is that it? You know? I don't know what you guys thought. I mean...
Well, it's interesting. So, sorry, Simone. Before, it's because there's...
Silence, woman!
I apologize. It's just...
That Ben Shapiro's here. Sorry, I got to stop it.
No, go ahead.
I was actually going to say, because obviously you worked in the industry and you know how these things kind of like the magic behind it a bit more. There was massive overhaul and reshoots on this film very recently. So a lot of that stuff that we think is missing or is lacking in terms of the actual story could have just been lost in the cutting room floor. I don't know if we think that's a factor or is it just simply that the story was crap. I don't know what you think.
No, I think that it is likely that this film was gutted. Like that this it had a longer runtime and that this film was gutted because it does feel like I like that it's short, but it also feels like as Ian said, like as we've all said, it feels like something's missing. Like with the flashbacks, with the like there's a moment in the beginning where is it during Kamala Khan's story where they're like earlier that day and we like go back in time? And it was like, well, why would we do this? Like, why would we go back to earlier that day? Like, it doesn't, that felt like a weird jump to go, like, just put it before. I don't know. It just feels like they had to do a lot of moving around with the storyline. Yeah.
Well, they say it says here on the post-production section of Wikipedia, so believe it if you will. But it was undergoing massive overhaul and research, which took place for 4 weeks to reportedly try and make the storyline coherent. So,
well, that's not a good word to use.
Before, it doesn't make sense.
This film is coherent. I understood the words they said.
The producer, this is coherent. This is it.
5 stars.
Before, just don't understand what's going on here. What's
the
going
Marvel
on?
Marvel coherent universe. This is what I'm thinking, that a lot of the story was probably, as I agree, Simone said, was longer, more in it, but probably was just so bogged down with stuff that they stripped a lot out, which I think does help in terms of making the film fun and energetic and kind of fast-paced, and helps a lot with that. But it also kind of sacrificed some of the story and making us actually care about what's going on. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for, I guess, the performances, then, as you said, Ian, then maybe we wouldn't be as happy with it as we are. So it's just interesting. I find that it's because it literally went over this overhaul since February. So it's very, very quick. And then release dates got moved and stuff. So I'm kind of surprised it's turned out as well as it has, to be honest, given that kind of...
I was about to say, it's maybe lucky. Yeah, it's maybe lucky it does. It's lucky it is coherent because, you know, like it could be a complete... I do think it, to use their term of coherency, their term of coherency. I agree with Simone that I felt the beginning actually lacked a bit of coherency. I don't think that beginning bit where it's like...
messy.
Oh, it's messy. You just didn't need any of that, where it's like Kamala Khan's in a room, then it pulls her somewhere, and then it's like, earlier that day, it was like, I get what they're trying to do, because that it kind of had a bit of a comic book vibe, that beginning bit, and it had panel lining, which was quite cool. And you do have that in a comic book, where you're like, earlier that day.
Well, I mean, Ian, we spoke about this, right? Like, I feel like if you're going to do that, like the whole like jumping around in time, like, keep it going. Like, it was just because it was once, it felt very jarring, and
it was weird, wasn't it?
It was very jarring, and like, I would have liked, like, when we were in Kamala Khan's room, if I'm remembering this correctly and I'm not conflating it with the show, there was like animated stuff, right?
No, it was in the film.
And it's like
she's drawing and it like cuts in, which is very funny.
And it's like, I know that during, like, in the Miss Marvel show, there was a lot of that, like, animated background that was going on. And I would have liked that to have been maybe a bit more around her. I think that would have been a nice addition. Because it's, like, part of her, like, the way she sees the world, right? I think that would have been a nice addition to it.
Yeah, I'd almost wager there were probably more instances of that in the film, but they probably cut. Along with a lot of the other stuff, probably.
It wasn't very coherent from what I hear.
It wasn't very coherent. No one had a clue what was going on.
But, even people acting in it, just like, what is going on?
But it's a shame, because I also enjoyed those moments. It kind of speaks to her character. It gives her, you know, it's very unique to her style, and it's like you say, how she perceives and sees the world, especially her relationship with Captain Marvel. I thought it was, you know, and it, like I say, really highlighted what's unique about Kamala Khan compared to, I guess, the other two. And all three characters are, you know, unique in themselves. And I think that's kind of, in a good way, celebrated in this film. And they really try and capture the fact that they're not all just superpowered beings who all, you know, have the same kind of vibe. And I think the three of them play off very well. But yeah, it's interesting to kind of wonder what was in this that was incoherent and what eventually came out to make it what it is. Because I think, and part of it is, I because Nia DaCosta, who did obviously the Candyman remake, who I think is a brilliant director, I wish more people would go see this film for her benefit as well, because I think that it's actually a really well put together film. The storyline might not all be there, but in terms of direction and the way the film runs, and it feels energetic, and there's interesting stuff going on at all times, I feel like she's put together a really well constructed film, in my opinion. I wish more people would see it for her. If
a very
else.
Coherent film.
Very well. Coherent. Super coherent.
Super coherent. Seamless.
It's maybe too coherent.
Yeah. I understood it too much.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I think the weakest, personally, whoever said it's the worst Marvel film is mental. Like, I think the worst one, I don't know, like, it's like, do we consider, I don't know, I think
Thor
the Eternals
World.
Is like, no, Thor Dark World is not that bad in comparison. The Eternals.
Oh,
is
like, forgetting about the Eternals. Yeah.
Because it's so forgettable. That's the problem. Like, it's because, like, part in my head is like, Thor, Love and Thunder is pretty bad. So is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And so is Quantumania. Those three, I think we can all say all of us didn't really enjoy.
Mm. Didn't like Quantumania.
Oh, yes, you hated
so
that film.
Boring.
Well, that's Jesus. That's my point. Like the
no, but it was like, how long
you said
were
that
we
with
in
so
that
much venom?
We how long were we in that end. Cinema? How long were we in that cinema? Like, how dare they?
About two
days.
How
days.
Just
so, like, but I think the Eternals is still probably worse because it's so forgettable. Like, nothing happens in that film to the point where they're never going to reference it again in the Marvel Universe. Like, it's so nothing that it's just gone from the history books. Whereas, at least, I guess, with Quantumania, it's so bad you remember it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, at least it's something memorable. Whereas, I think with this, like, it's difficult because it's definitely better than the stuff we've had recently. And it's interesting, Simone, you brought up Spider-Man, Where's My House? I Can't Find My House. Like, in that one, we left feeling like, oh yeah, this is a good time. But then we thought about it a bit and we were like, that film's pretty dumb if you think about it for like 10 minutes. Mm. But it's still a good time. This one is like, this is a good time. It's not dumb. I just don't think it's well written. And it's a shame because I feel like it has a good director who probably, I don't know if it will affect her brand as a director, but like, why I brought up the Eternals is that had an Oscar winning director doing it. Mm. And that was bad. And like, I think, I don't know. I don't know how much having a bad film on your resume is going to affect your directing. I don't think this is going to affect her too much, really.
I'd hope not.
I don't think so. Like, and I don't think it's that bad. It's not been badly received. It's just not made much money, which I guess is the same in the Marvel world, isn't it? They're probably going to look at it and be like, didn't make money, you know? They're saying they're going to stop making films as much, though, aren't they? They're pausing.
Yeah, like we spoke about on our Loki episode, which you can listen to.
Go listen.
Yeah.
Stop listening to this one. Go listen to that one. Like, that's on our page.
And then get come some back.
And then come back to come this back. Page. Yeah, come back.
We'll wait. We'll just wait here.
Yeah, yeah. Had a good day, Chris, I guess.
Yeah, it's been all right. But they are slowing down. Deadpool 3 is going to be the only film in the MCU next year. Then there are currently going to be 4 slated for 2025. I doubt that's going to stay the same. So you've got Captain America, Brave New World, Fantastic Four, Thunderbolts, and Blade. Blade is never getting made at this point, so let's just pretend that's not happening. And then
that'll be a real shame if that doesn't happen.
It will be. It had so much promise at the start.
It did.
Look at it now. I mean, you got Maharaj Ali as Blade. What else do you want? And then suddenly it's just like, we're not going to do it. But yes, they are slowing down. This will be the last one, obviously, this year. Then, like I say, one next year, which Deadpool 3, which apparently is about fighting an army of Kangs. So I think they're going to try and do some massive reset there for obvious reasons. But yeah, it's interesting because I'm looking back now at what I call the post-endgame films, phase 4 and 5. Where do we think, I guess, the Marvel's ranks in that kind of post-endgame world? Simone, is it top half, bottom half?
I'm really struggling to think what the films are post-endgame.
I can give you a list if you
Thank
would like.
You got, yes, please.
Where's the Spider-Man?
Where's the Spider-Man?
where's the Spider-Man? I'm trying to think of all.
So you've got Black Widow was the first one.
Oh,
you've got
Shang-Chi. That's so forgettable. That's painful how forgettable that one is.
Then you've got Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. Then you've got Eternals, Spider-Man No Way Home, Multiverse of Madness, Love and Thunder, Wakanda Forever, Quantumania, Guardians 3, and now the Marvels.
I guess it's somewhere in the middle, isn't it? I think. Like, it's not.
So what's number one on that list then?
No Way Home.
No Way Home.
No Way Home, Where's My Home? And then Shang-Chi,
Fair play.
I like Shang-Chi as well.
I like that film was so enjoyable. It was fun. My parents enjoyed it. Like, I think just another film that you can bring your parents to.
I think the end. Yeah, that's what I look for in a film.
My mum would love this.
With my parents, it's like, is it a war film? No. Is it a ghost film? No. They're not going to enjoy this. This isn't for them. This is not for you. Get a war film with ghosts in? Christ, you're onto a winner there. My parents will be extremely happy by that.
That could be our next debate: the best war ghost film.
It's very niche. I don't know. That's tough, isn't it? I think Shang-Chi. I don't know. I think the end lets Shang-Chi down. I think it becomes a bit messy, like with the weird CGI dragon thing. It's kind of weird.
But I feel like it's the rest of the film kind of bolsters it for me. I still had a good time. I'm going to say something a bit maybe that might be controversial.
Here we go. It wasn't very coherent. I don't know.
I'm going to put this. I mean, for me, I think Black Panther's fairly low down on that list. So I'm going to put it just above Black Panther, right in the middle.
I don't think that's controversial.
Is that not controversial?
Did we review Black Panther? I think we did.
We did. You and I did.
I think me and you did. What a journey we've been on. Well, see, we don't talk after the podcast.
That was a whole year ago you did that.
Damn. Yeah. Christ. I think with that year that we've had to, you know, more sit on Black Panther, obviously it's difficult because of the nature of that film being released. I really think they should have just scrapped that.
Yeah.
I think they should have just gone, scrap it. We'll give it 5 years, something like that. And then we'll make something, like, really spend a lot of time to write something better than what we got. Cause I think it felt like Black Panther had a release date. We have to put something out. We know Chadwick Boseman's passed away. We need to address that. So let's just throw something together and figure it out. Whereas I think if they pushed it back and actually put a bit more time into it, that could have been a better film. But I think that's not controversial at all, Simone. I think it's. Mm. I think I actually had a way better time with this than Black Panther.
Yeah.
More enjoyable.
I think with the them pushing to get Black Panther out is like. That's just the Marvel machine, right? It's just like, it's chugging along and it's like, no matter what, we have our timeline. You have to deliver and you have to hit these points so that the next films make sense and we can introduce these characters. And do you know what? That was something that in this film, it didn't feel like in this film, I feel like some of the films that we've had previously, it's felt like they've shoehorned pieces of plot for the overarching story and this film didn't have that.
That was one of the big things you said when we left, because we do talk after the films. You were like, I remember you saying one of the things that you really didn't like about Wakanda Forever was Riri Williams.
Yeah,
didn't fit, did it?
What and you terrible were like, introduction for her as well, because she is a
need new glasses or want a fresh new style. Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A-class character.
Yeah. And you were like, it just felt forced. Whereas in this, it was like, you don't need to think about the broader universe. You can just sit back and have a good time. But I think because of that, it felt like some of the older Marvel films, but paralleling those older ones, which I think were better, like Iron Man 4, Captain America, the first one, the first Avenger. Those three all share a similar problem that I think their villains, other than Red Skull, are a bit forgettable because they're just gone. And that's what the big problem with this film was. But that's actually a compliment that I'm saying it's like those original three. Its main problem is its villain. Everything else is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it would have been quite an easy fix to, like, sort out the villain. No? Like...
How would you fix it? You work in film. You tell us.
I think I'd make quite a good script editor. But, you know, I would have put, like... So we've got all of this stuff that they've, like, dropped in flashbacks that have never existed. Do mm-hmm. a little opener that's like Captain Marvel going to the Kree home planet and messing stuff up and just being like pretty much a villain, but she's, mm-hmm. but give us some context. Give us some more context as to why she's going in so hard. Like make, mm-hmm. like you have to make it make sense. Mm-hmm. And with I've forgotten the villain's name. This is terrible.
Well, that's a problem. They are very forgettable.
With Zawe really Ashton's character,
Darben.
Oh dear.
And I know that because I'm reading it off the screen.
Classic Darben. What are they like?
Like when with Darben's character, like we don't spend enough time with her. Like I don't feel there needs to be more time with her for her to. Like for her to, us to understand why she's doing so hard. Like why is she attacking mm-hmm. Captain Marvel? Like specifically. One of the things I said to Ian was like, there are so many planets in the universe. Why is she specifically going after Captain Marvel's?
Yeah, like, you did say that. And I was like it
there's
was
so many. You could get atmosphere without having to like go somewhere and also lose your own men in the process.
It's true.
Like,
it's true.
It's not making sense.
Yeah, agreed.
And the other thing I remember going out is like, she's like, oh, I'm doing it because I hate Captain Marvel. She attacked our home planet. But that sort of vengeance between them really didn't have any sort of setup. No. And then at the end, when Captain Marvel and the other two, I've forgotten their names, Miss Marvel and non-name superhero, the three of them, are there being like, why don't Captain Marvel just bloody fly through your sun? That'll fix this. I'm like, one, why didn't they try that earlier? Two, why didn't they try that earlier?
It's a good point. It's a very good point. I thought
two,
that.
Two, why didn't they do that? And two, there's actually quite a lot of points here. So two, is now Captain Marvel so infinitely powerful that she can reignite a sun? Mm. Like, why did she have any issues earlier on fighting anybody? I guess the argument back would be, well, she's holding back on her powers. Okay, cool. That's totally fair. But at a point when she's struggling to beat people, I feel like the fact that she can reignite a sun might make people go, well, actually, maybe we should back off fighting Captain Marvel. She's crazy strong. Beat the crap out of Thanos, which I'm like, he was the most powerful person in the universe and wearing an Infinity Gauntlet. So why... why is any of this happening? Why is any of this story happening? Because she's so powerful.
It's the age-old problem with the MCU of fluctuating powers for convenience of story. Yeah. Scarlet Witch, Vision. They all do it, and they'll go, oh, but you did this before. Yeah, I can't do that now.
Can't do it now.
Whoops. Another question I have. Why doesn't...
Well, I had a third one, but you go.
Why didn't,
Dunder Mifflin. Why didn't Dunder Mifflin? Dunbar.
What? Sorry, what is it?
Darben.
Dunbar now. Dunbar.
Why didn't Darben just ask Captain Marvel for help? Like, you caused this. You need to fix it.
Because I guess she was on a vengeance thing. But then this actually links to what my third point. This actually really links to my third point.
Okay, I'll get back to what I was going to say, but you go.
Well, I was just going to say this links to what you were going to mention. When she goes, I can reignite your bloody sun, right? Which also Captain Marvel's not gone, well, I'm still really annoyed that you took the atmosphere and water from two planets, by the way, but let's just forget about them. Who cares about them, dickheads?
The singing planet.
Yeah, who cares? But the singing planet, let's hope they're dead. Who cares? They're annoying.
I actually really enjoyed that scene.
Yeah, I liked that as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, yeah.
The second she's like, I can reignite the sun, which is her whole shtick, she's like, well, I'm going to kill Miss Marvel. I'm just going to kill Miss Marvel because I'm just maniacally evil. Like, this is the only... It seemed so, like, 180 in terms of her character progression was like, I'm here for my people. I've got to save my people at any cost. Even their own lives, I'm going to save them. And then Captain Marvel's like, well, nobody has to die. I'm just going to fly through the sun. I feel really bad about this. I'm sorry. And instead of being like, oh, okay, cool. All right. She was like, nah, I'm going to try and kill this like 16-year-old girl with this hammer thing. And you're just going to have to put up with it. And then I'm going to blow myself up. It seemed like, why? And that's exactly your point. She offered help and she didn't go, oh, yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, this seems fair. Like, it didn't make sense to me. My 3 points didn't make sense. And it links to the, why didn't she just accept or ask for the help?
I mean, like, maybe if they had, instead of it being like she's just taking it by force, which just seems like a bit unnecessary. I don't know. Like, you've got this infinitely powerful being, you could just ask. Maybe it could have been more like a, she's pursuing Captain Marvel's like places that she frequents and like basically like holding them for ransom, like, you need to bring us Miss Marvel now, like maybe something like that would have been quite good. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like trying to track this woman, trying to track Captain Marvel down because she's so busy, because she's trying to do so much around the universe, and she's like leaving a trail of destruction because she's like, where is she? And she's getting increasingly and increasingly angry that her people are dying. I think that would have been quite good.
I had a good idea as well. Add to that. I'm bringing it now. To add to her villain-esque character, because at the moment, like, she does have like sympathetic reasons for doing doing. None of the things that she's doing is actually going to save her people. Like, she knows none of this is actually going to save them. She just wants to kill Captain Marvel. But she's telling her people, I need to do these things to save you. I can do it. So they're all following her, being like, well, she's going to save us. Mm. She's the one to come and save us. When in actual fact, this trail of destruction she's leaving is just to get Captain Marvel to come to her so that she can kill her. That's literally all she wants. But then when Captain Marvel's like, I can reignite your son, I can do this for you, that's why she turns it down, because she's like, I never wanted to save my people. I just wanted to kill you. That's all I care about. Because mm-hmm. then that makes sense to why she didn't accept the help. Mm. Because she doesn't want the help. She just wants vengeance.
Boom. Fixed it.
Fixed it. I brought it. We brought it, Marvel. We laid it out for you. Are you going to take it? You're going to take our help? Probably not. I need to bring down that energy. I'm a little bit too... Nobody's listening to this.
Jacked up on sleep.
From Marvel.
It's all the sugar.
It's a lot of sugar. I need to bring it down. Sorry.
You guys are right. I think they don't do enough legwork to make the villain as sympathetic for me. Obviously, you know, world has been destroyed and, you know, there's that element to it. But I think there has to be an aspect of any good villain that you kind of want to, you don't want to see them win, but you kind of empathize more and you want to see them with their motivations actually be something that, you know, is for a purpose, or, you know, or is severe grief, which I think, I know we spoke about Love and Thunder, but the Gore the God Butcher kind of has that.
Such a waste.
It's such a waste, but it has such that element seed there that they just didn't explore. And I think that's a problem they always have with their villains, is they don't push it enough.
Well, one, sorry to jump in, one that everybody really loves is Thanos. Mm-hmm. And Thanos in the comic is actually very one-dimensional. Well, not one-dimensional, but it's a bit weird. He wants to essentially shack up with the physical manifestation of death rather than, and killing half the universe will basically make her.
We've
like,
all been there.
We've all had those. Physical manifestation of death, classic, those times. But killing half the universe will make the physical manifestation of death love him because of the amount of death he's caused. Hmm. That's weird. It's really weird. It's gonna hard to translate that into film. And I actually think they took a very interesting, sympathetic idea that, like, we can't continue at the rate of, you know, expansion that we are, although the whole argument about the infinite universe expanding isn't that okay, but in terms of like the resources we have, etc., you know, overconsumption, I think Thanos, they took that idea of like perfect balance, we've got to kill half the universe completely indiscriminately, even though you go that's wrong and you agree with the Avengers, you're like, but the way he's got there, you're like, I can see how a mad person has got to that position, you know? And Thanos went from being quite one-dimensional in the comics, well, not one-dimensional, weird dimensional, to being like, okay, I actually see where he's got to in this sort of mad state that he's in, the mad Titan. And I think that's actually quite good. And that shows they can come up with good character villains. And the, as you exactly say, Chris, people that you can go, oh, I don't want to agree with him, but I kind of see what he's saying. And I think, unfortunately, there's very few and far between in the MCU villains that actually are like that.
Yeah, it has been an issue. Even before, you know, Thanos, there was issues with that. Forgettable characters. Iron Man 3, you pointed out, you know, Killian is not the most memorable. Mickey Rourke's villain, you know.
I need my bird.
Yeah, that was an interesting character choice.
Man loves birds. What can
he
say?
Man loves birds and his electric whips. How many birds has he gone through? Because there must be a period of training with those. He's probably hit a bird at some point. So, you know.
My bird.
Right. But yeah, I think obviously we've discussed, I guess, the flaws of this film, which are, I guess, a running theme throughout Marvel films, and, you know, how do they address that going forward? I think it's just a better attention to, I guess, the main story. But the characters, we've said, are really good. It is a fun film, if not for the, you know, lacking in story. But yeah, what are we saying? Broadly fine, broadly good. How are we going?
Broadly fine, I think. Because it's definitely enjoyable. And I would actually say probably some of the other Marvel films would go lower down in my broadlies, because I think the quality slip. But I think this is broadly fine, almost broadly good.
Simone? Almost.
I really want to say broadly good, but I'm going to have to say broadly fine. Yeah, I feel like it's... Ian, you're rubbing off on me. Like, I really, really want to say broadly good, because,
but
you
don't
know,
say it like you're resentful that we're living together. You know, you're rubbing off on me. We've spent too much time together.
But I mean, like, it has... The film has all the markers for it to be broadly good. Like, it's got good acting. I really enjoyed the story. It's a good time. But there are some sort of fundamental issues with the film. That being said, it is a really enjoyable time, so people should go see it.
Yeah,
they should. You should. I just remembered another thing I thought was good. There was not really much bad CGI in this film.
There was not. It was actually quite consistent.
Okay.
Good.
It was coherent.
It was coherent CGI.
What do you think, Chris?
I agree. I think the needle lands somewhere between broadly fine and broadly good. I think that's probably as...
I did say to Sim, could we make a little sub, like, tiny, tiny, thin one, which is, like, broadly goodish? Like, broadly goodish?
We've got to stop adding to the broadlies.
Yeah. Simone said no.
They're there for a reason.
It's broadly coherent, okay? And we'll go with that.
We give it 4 coherence out of 4.
Yeah. I think it lands somewhere in between the two. Like I said, the story kind of brings it down, but then the performances and the fun and the direction of it kind of bring it back up again. So yeah, I think landing somewhere between the two is fair.
Do you guys think, here's a question then, I guess a broadly question, Do you think this being the last like official timeline MCU film for a year is a good place to stop the Marvel universe for now? And do you think it perhaps leaves us, because we've heard rumors that, like, you know, the Fantastic Four, we know that's obviously on the way. That's might have Pedro Pascal in it. Okay, someone's excited about that. A mouse has joined the podcast. Do we think this is a good place to have stopped the MCU for now? Because that's what it feels like to me, is what the general vibe from Kevin Feige and the Marvel upper echelons machine is. Not coming to an end, but coming to a halt temporarily. Deadpool 3, I feel, is outside of the universe. It's kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
So do we think it's a good place to stop? And does that fill us with confidence for what might come with Pedro Pascal and other stuff? Because there is an end credit scene for this film. We haven't mentioned
which
that.
Which we'll get into, I guess, right at the end. But Sim, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think they should have stopped about three films ago.
What was three that one?
Thor, Love and Thunder. They should have stopped before that. They should have just done they wanted to do the Black Widow film and whatever, and the Hawkeye TV show and whatever, and the Winter Soldier, not the Captain. What was the
Falcon and Winter
Falcon?
Soldier.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier one that I didn't bother watching. They wanted to
it's
do all
bad.
Of it.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
Exactly. It's all right.
It's middling.
Exactly. It's middling. It's fine.
But I like how I say it positively, though. It's middling.
It's middling. It's very coherent.
But they wanted to get all of that stuff out of the way after the end game. But they should have stopped there and just been like, right, regroup. What's the next step? Because everything 100%. Has just kind of felt really bitty and messy, and you know, look what it's doing to the fans. Look at us. Look at the state of us.
We're a mess. Like,
we've become bitter and like, angry.
We are. And so I think they should have stopped. They should have stopped a while ago, to be honest.
I agree. I think Endgame was such a mic drop that they should have just gone, right, see you in 5 years.
Yeah.
And we'll come back with.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like,
that would have been.
Everyone's like, what happened to everyone? And then you come back. But obviously, you know, actors get older. Tom Holland's probably what, 17 now? 16? I don't know. I know he's older than that.
For a minute, I thought you were being sincere. No, I was like, he's in his 20s, man. No,
he's like 27 or something.
Yeah. He looks about 14. So
he does. We like Tom Holland.
But
we
then obviously they went into Far From Home, which then opened up, you know, things. And then they just went, they kept going. They had Black Widow. Obviously, there was a gap because of the pandemic, but if there hadn't been, Black Widow would have come out much sooner than it did, and it would have been even more compact, I think. And then, and then, like I say, you've had 11 films and actually 9 TV shows since Endgame, or 12 films. So, and bear in mind, Endgame was the 22nd film, so you're already at 33 plus 9 TV shows. That's a lot that's happened since 2019. That's 4 years.
We think it's the right thing to have stopped.
I think so. I think.
Yeah. But this film, do we feel the film is the right? So it should have ended before, but do we feel confident going forward?
I don't want to say they lucked out with this film, especially everything that I've heard about the post-production and, you know, gutting it and rewrites and all that stuff.
But it is coherent, mate.
It is coherent. It is now coherent.
Who made the right decision there?
I think they've landed on at least one foot rather than just both feet, but I think
the other foot's broken. The other foot, they've landed on
the
one.
Other foot's shaky. It's balancing right now, but I feel like they've said right, you have a chance now to just stop, take a breath, come back when you've got like a coherent plan, and I think you're right. Deadpool 3, I think, while it is technically MCU, sits outside slightly and has a chance to kind of move some stuff around, reset some things, create some new opportunities, and then they just go, right, from 2025 maybe we'll be in a better place. Because I think the Marvels does the stuff it does quote-unquote badly, it doesn't do any worse than what
the other films do, but it does some things better. And they need to kind of think, right, they need to analyze that and then start use that as a blueprint going forward and start thinking about it. So I think while it's not the best ending they could have had for a break, it's better than, you know, if they had ended on For Love and Thunder, I'd be like, well, that's it. It's just, what's the point?
Yeah, true. Imagine that being the end point.
Yeah, but there we go. But I think, obviously, going forward, if they take a break and make us want it, we've said this 100 times, make us want to get back into this universe, because at the minute, the thing is, we know there's another one coming, so we're like, well, we'll just wait for that one to come out. Whereas if they stopped at Endgame and waited, said, all right, we might come back at some point, we'll go, well, when? We want more, and then just make us want it, you know, rather than just, we know we're getting a film or a TV show every 3-6 months, so there's no intrigue anymore. There's no excitement that there used to be when they were building this universe. So I think they've made the right decision. 100%.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. And I think with Kang, the whole, forgetting, you know, what's happened, I think your thing of there's no intrigue anymore, I think that's one of the reasons why Kang hasn't really worked as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because Thanos, there was an intrigue when he turned up at the end of Endgame, at the end of the Avengers film, and turned around with his cheeky little grin, you know. So, like, with Kang, it kind of has just been like laid out in front of us, that whole huge timeline of what the Marvel films are going to be. Because when at the beginning of when Avengers came out, they never used to do those big come to the huge hall, we're going to show you the entire timeline of every Marvel property, TV show, film that's coming out for the next 5 years, and everybody's going to know exactly what they're called, and you're all going to go away and research it. And whereas that kind of only started when it got more and more popular. So like the intrigue of it wasn't it like when that guy turned around, a lot of people in the cinema was like, who the hell was that weird purpley red man? And why is he looking so happy with himself? Like, so I think you're right. I think the intrigue of it all has kind of just gone, because we all know Kang's coming because they told us Kang Dynasty's coming. But now it might not be because of other reasons. But I think that now has entered intrigue again, because people are like, oh, Doctor Doom could be the villain, this could happen, you know. It's added a bit more interest again.
Yeah, and you know, give us time to speculate and come up with our own ideas, and then come and surprise us with stuff that we didn't even think would happen, you know.
Yeah, like I didn't expect Endgame.
Yeah. No, when we started in 2008, no one would have assumed that 11 years later that's where we would be. But they did such good groundwork and character building in that time that just doesn't seem to be happening now. Or we just need a break, you know. Let us go away and come back, and then it'll be better for them in the long run, because people will just get burnt out quicker if they don't.
I think people are already burnt out, really.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. On the topic, I guess, of the future of the MCU, the two, I guess, post-credit scenes that we have here are, I guess, worth discussing in terms of what they will mean for the future. The first one being Kamala Khan meeting Kate Bishop from Hawkeye, which I guess is a setup to the Young Avengers kind of initiative that's kind of in the works, I guess. Thoughts on this one?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing we both, because again, we do talk when films finish. We talk while films are on. We just annoy all the people.
Those people.
No, we're not. We really are.
No,
we're not.
No, I can imagine you're not. You're very much not.
We're the shushes.
We're like, shh, shut your mouth. Shut your fucking mouth.
Just trailers.
Oh, don't talk to him during the trailers either. I want to watch the trailers.
It's a Volvo advert. I want to see this. All right. I want to see what the Volvo's doing.
Where are they driving to? It's a mountain. Who cares?
The only thing we were like could be interesting is Miles Morales is in Young Avengers. So we were like, that would be cool.
But
I don't care about any of the other Young Avengers. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be...
We've already got a great Miles Morales. Like,
yeah, don't.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Do I really want it? Do we really want Miles Morales in the MCU? I don't know. Probably not. I don't care. I don't care about Young Avengers. Yeah. I know that sounds... People are going to be like, oh, what? I don't care.
Unless they do the multiverse thing and they bring him in and
As an animated character.
As an animated character.
That'd be pretty badass.
Well, weirdly, but Hayley Steinfeld is both in, obviously, she's Kate Bishop and she's Gwen Stacy in Spider-Verse. Yeah. So there's an opportunity
So the members are going to be, they're going to be Miss Marvel, Kate Bishop.
A Cloak and Dagger in there?
I don't know. But no, I mean, who currently do we know in the universe that would be a young Avenger?
I don't know if we know that those, many, to be honest.
Ooh. It's those two at the moment. It's them at the moment. I really don't know.
Oh dear.
Is there any other young people being superheroes? Because in the comics, again, Falcon is one, but he's now Captain America, so that doesn't... He's not going to take a step down to be a young Avenger. Also, he's a grown-ass man.
I mean, the young kid who was in Iron Man 3, who was also at the funeral that no one knew who was.
Oh, Riri Williams.
Yeah, he's there. So he's...
Who's the young kid? Who's that guy?
The kid who... He was in Iron Man 3. He helped him with his suit when...
Oh, is that kid going to be...
What, with his
normal
potato gun? What's
he was rumored to be the next Iron Man or Ironheart, I think.
No, Riri Williams.
So
there's a young...
Yeah, I think that one's already picked. In terms of that, unless there's, you know, okay, a young member of the Fantastic Four that we just try to crowbar in, I don't know.
I don't know. It just doesn't feel me... Like, when... Obviously, we'll get onto the other post-credit scene, which has a bit more exciting in it. Mm. But like when you think about other teams that we're going to get into the Marvel Universe, like Fantastic Four, great. Really into that. Let's get that. Pedro Pascal, come on down. Get in here. Another one. Like when we get the X-Men, we're going to be like, that's awesome. Like, that's great. I can't wait for the X-Men. I love the X-Men. Young Avengers, who... And I know there's somebody out there who might listen to this, so cool if you're listening to this. If you're one of the biggest fans of the Young Avengers, I'm a nerd, but you're a f***ing nerd. Like, that is, like, just who cares about the Young Avengers? No offense to them, but Jesus.
I mean,
they're like the B team. You're the B team of the Avengers.
Maybe it should be a TV show and it's, like, marketed for kids.
I think that is what it's going to be.
Like, don't make it a movie. Don't do it.
Don't make it a movie.
Just make it a TV show. Make it for children. Just whack it on Disney Plus.
It'd be really funny if it's all of the...
Playing devil's advocate in defense of the Young Avengers. We had...
it's going to be Scarlet Witches and What's Your Face's kids. They'll be in there. They'll be in there. There you go.
Yeah. But, I mean, when the MCU started, obviously we spoke about the fact that the heroes we now love weren't the main heroes. I don't think... I'm also not saying that the Young Avengers are the new Iron Man, but, you know...
Touché, Chris, that's a very good point.
We didn't care about those people until 2008. And
I'm going to take back my derogatory term about people being really nerdy if their favourite team's the Young Avengers. You might prove me wrong, but right now... I don't care about the Young Avengers.
But what you might care about is the other post-credit scene in which Beast, played by Kelsey Grammer, is back. It's very exciting.
So I was like, it's Kelsey Grammer. Ian's like, I don't think it is. Like, no, that's Kelsey Grammer.
It is Kelsey. It's like, I know that voice
it's
anyway.
It's Frasier.
Know that voice. That's exactly what I said. I would know his voice anywhere. My baby, I hear the blues are calling.
No, we can't sing that.
We got sued. It wasn't all the Ben Shapiro talk. It was that got us sued in the end.
Sorry, Chris. But yeah, I mean, Hank McCoy, Beast.
Yeah.
From the universe we know and love from the X-Men. Canon. Very excited. What does it mean?
Tell me! Tell us what you mean! Now, that's exactly what we wanted. Intrigue. It's like, oh, yes. Now we're going to have to wait a whole year to figure out what the hell this all means.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm so excited by that. Yeah. I'm not sure how much I've said how much I love the X-Men. But I love the X-Men. I have so many X-Men comics. That That cartoon is great.
Yes,
the comic books are amazing. Grant Morrison's run on new X-Men was amazing. Like, there's so much amazing X-Men material, and it's something that the MCU's lacked.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, when she woke up and she sees, obviously, her mum, or, you know, who she thinks is her mum, Monica Rambeau, sitting next, not Monica Rambeau, what's her name? I've totally forgotten.
Just Monica Rambeau's mum. That's her name.
Thank you.
In the credits, it's literally just Monica Rambeau's mum.
Monica Rambeau's mum. Perfect. Oh my God.
Rolls off the tongue. It's such a
Maria,
good
that's it. No.
Maria,
you.
That's
Maria.
Maria.
I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, obviously, I kind of guess like she's not the same Maria Rambeau. And then obviously, and then you just hear that voice. I'm like, oh, I know that voice. I've watched Frasier a long time. And when he turns out, and then he mentions Charles, like, but which Charles? Which Charles do you mean? Like, do you mean James McAvoy? Do you mean Patrick Stewart? Do you mean someone else? I'm just, this is exactly what you said. This has me going, asking questions, wanting to know, wanting to see where this goes, rather than just like,
in comparison to Multiverse of Madness, where it put all of our hopes and dreams of what we wanted to see and then killed all of them.
Oh, God. Shit. I mean,
which
yeah,
is what happened.
That is what happened.
We got everything we wanted and then they killed them all, which was just awful. This does enough where it's like, oh, there you go. You saw something you wanted to see. You got to see Beast. Will you see more? Will it be Patrick Stewart? Will it be someone else? You're kind of left going, okay.
Evan Peters as back as Quicksilver again.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah, like, it was great. Like, just leave a few little breadcrumbs, you know? Leave the people wanting more. Oh, mm-hmm. That was such a good post-credit sequence.
That was a really good post-credit sequence. I was really into that.
It was a good. It was a really good high to end the film on.
Yes, and it's a good place to leave the for a year.
Exactly,
that's the big thing. Exactly, it's a good place to be. Like, you're gonna have a year to stew on this, you know. And again, just comparing it to Multiverse Madness, where I finally got. Not only did we get the gold wheelchair, we got Black Agar Baltagon in his full glory, and then what's his face from The Office is Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
and then they killed all of them. This was just so the opposite of that, where it's like, is it like a single shot of Beast fully walking away?
He's like at a console.
Yeah, he's
You don't spend that much time with him. He just kind of trots off, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Well,
It's no more than 10 seconds, I think. Yeah. He says a couple of lines and then talks about Charles and obviously then just leaves the room and that's it.
And that's all we needed. That's all we needed. And that is more than good enough. That was great. It's what we want, Marvel. Less is more. Less is more.
Well,
you know?
It was a good way, like you say, for them to end their current run, give a break for a year. And I think it's also a good place for us to end our episode.
That was seamless, Chris. That was really nice.
Thank you.
Well
thank
done. You. This is why you're the host.
Thank you very much. Very nice button to end on for the MCU for a point of what is was a fun film. It had its flaws, but I think we overall enjoyed it. Broadly fine to broadly good, like we said. So yeah, I think we won't have another MCU film to talk about for a year. So let's us take a year off as well. We'll come back and talk about other stuff.
The people will be happy.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad.
Brought the mood down. Why did you do that?
Well, I guess that's all the time we have for this week. So,
What's our first? I feel like one of our first reviews was an MCU film.
The first one for
we
us.
We should have checked that before.
The first one we ever did, Ian, was the Snyderverse, Snyder Cut. That was the first one together.
It was.
Our first Phantom Zone episode, if you remember, was the Long Halloween.
Long Halloween.
Yeah,
it was. So actually, the MCU has very little to do with firsts for us.
But we have covered Love and Thunder, Multiverse of Madness. We've talked about Spider-Man. We've talked about the MCU as a whole. So if you have actually enjoyed listening to this episode today, then you can listen to all those episodes on our channels. We are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and SoundCloud. So please, we'd appreciate it if you told your friends, like, share, subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to the UK Film Review podcast, who've been kind enough to have
you
us
could.
This week.
You could.
They've got some great shows as well. You've got UK Film Club, which Chris Olsen, the editor himself, and Brian host, which
it's a lot
is great.
Of fun.
It is a lot of fun talking about the big films and the smaller indie films that they like to promote. You've got Scream Test with Rachel, all about horror films, and you've got the
Very
fabulous,
Scary.
Very Scary. the podcast, not Rachel. She's lovely. and obviously the fabulous Gay Actually with Amber and Joyce, which is a great film.
Some of our faves.
They are our faves. We've collaborated with them in the past, talking all things LGBTQ+ is a great podcast to listen to. But yeah, if you've enjoyed listening to us, you can also email us at thephantomzonepodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @thephantomzonepodcast. We'd love for you to get in touch and let us know your thoughts and share your opinions on the MCU and other stuff with us as well. But for now, until next time, thank you very much for listening and we'll see you again soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.